What the Tech is brought to you by Text Expander. Text Expander helps you communicate smarter. Visit textexpander.com/podcast for 20% off your first year. Everybody, welcome to What the Tech. I'm Andrew Zarian, joined by Mr. Paul Thorod on a very special edition of What the Tech. How you doing, Paul?
Very auspicious occasion.
Yes. It was WWDC 2020. Apple did their annual developer conference. Kicked it off today. It started at around 1 o'clock East, just finished. A lot of information from this. WWDC. Obviously, it wasn't the traditional WWDC that we see with the clapping and the cheering and the pauses and the breaks and a musical performance. Bono didn't come out on stage. Yeah.
Didn't miss the clapping.
Did not miss the clapping.
I hope that's not lost on these guys, you know?
Oh, no, totally lost on them. I guarantee they're just thinking, man, clapping, imagine that reaction we would have gotten when we said everybody's copying us.
Oh, by the way, who were they talking about?
I don't know.
That was the strangest part of that presentation. He said, you know, a lot of our competitors are copying the way we name things. And I literally have no idea what company he's talking about.
Well, I have breaking news. It's Microsoft, right? The next version of Microsoft, you could confirm this, is called Rancho Cucamonga.
but no, it isn't. And then, I mean, who's left? It's like Google? Are you talking about like Linux guys? Is there another company naming betas after or products after place names in California? Intel uses locations in Oregon, or at least they used to. They always did.
Yeah, they do.
Long before Apple did that. I mean, what are they talking about?
Samsung, maybe? What is Samsung doing?
I mean it honestly. I have no idea what they meant by that.
So I honestly, when I listened to it, I thought we're going to run down this whole thing, guys. There's a lot to unpack here. And by the way, today I want to see the chat room. I want to see what you guys think of this because there's a lot of stuff to kind of absorb in today's announcement. Process. There you go. That's the word. Yeah. But when I heard him mention that the competitors, they've had to keep the secret because competitors. So, I thought they were talking about the operating system. I didn't think they were talking about the name.
That was just weird.
It's fine. Guys, we do have a lot to talk about. Obviously, we're using Thorod.com as a point of reference today. A lot of great articles up there already. Brad has been on fire, already posted some stuff. Paul has some stuff. We're going to be on Thorod.com using that as a point of reference. And obviously, just running down the list of topics here as we unpack WWDC 2020. I want to remind everybody, if you're watching live on YouTube, you could hit that subscribe button. We're also available everywhere podcasts are available. Let's hit the subscribe button if you guys are enjoying the show. First time listening, welcome in. This is a very different type of tech show where we kind of have fun with technology. I always pride the show as we're having fun talking about tech. So let's begin this. Paul, where do you want to start with this event? Boy. Very different kind of like DC.
Yeah, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
I'd kind of like to start with the Mac stuff.
Okay.
Specifically the ARM, well, they don't call it the Apple Silicon angle. Just because to me, this was the most highly anticipated part of the show and is something I'm trying to come to grips with because unlike most people probably, I have very closely followed Microsoft's attempts to do the same thing to do something very similar in Windows. And I got to be honest, Microsoft has not done a great job with a similar transition. So I'm fascinated by this aspect of it.
Yeah. So let's go into it. So, That was the one more thing moment, right, for this conference where at the end of the conference, they're talking about Mac OS, obviously, and they're going through all the feature changes and everything. You know, UI chain tweaks, feature changes, app updates. They spent a lot of time on iMessage this year. And at the end, they announced that they are going with their own chips, Apple Silicon, which they mentioned about 500 times. You know what that reminds me of? When they called it an internet communicator.
Yes.
It's almost like
and one no of one knew what they meant.
And nobody knew what they meant. Can you imagine what people are like, what the hell is an Apple Silicon that really are not in the know right now?
Yeah, so obviously they can't call it ARM, right? The A series chips that Apple makes now, which, you know, it bought a company that was making the chips, but they have evolved that stuff dramatically.
Yeah.
There's no good name for it, right? So it is Apple Silicon. I mean, it's kind of a goof. Silicon is a strange word, but they can't call it ARM. You know, it's Windows 10 on ARM, unless you're Qualcomm, by the way, because Qualcomm refers to it as Windows 10 on Snapdragon. But the official name is Windows 10 on ARM. And, you know, look, give Apple some credit. I mean, they're not going to call it's not macOS something. It's not, you know, it's just going to be Mac. It's the computer's going to be Mac. The system's going to be macOS. It's just that they're shifting the underlying platform. And if it works out the way it looks like it's going to, you know, most people aren't going to have any problems.
Yeah.
That's the killer. Well, I mean, you know.
Well, here's the thing that we don't know. I mean, what we do know is
there's a lot we don't know for sure. But
what we do know is that the developer version of this will be shipping as a Mac Mini. And it's using the 12Z processor.
Yep. Which I think they already are shipping. Isn't that the thing that's in the latest iPad Pro?
Yeah.
12Z. It was just a very, in fact, if I remember, if you're, I'm not a Mac, you know, like an Apple expert, but I believe the difference between the 12X, which was in the previous generation Mac iPad Pro, and the 12Z is just that the 12Zs are Xs that meet a certain performance threshold. You know, sometimes the way that chips yield, some of them are a little faster than others. And I mean, it's kind of an artificial thing.
By the way.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Yeah, sometimes, you know, it's like you have a baby and sometimes it's an i5 and sometimes it's an i7. Yeah.
Just decide which one you want.
It's not science, guys. This is imprecise. It's magic.
It's magical.
No, that's true. That's the way chipsets yield. I mean, it's kind of a weird thing, but
so just if people don't know what the specs are of this for the developers, obviously this is not going to be the shipped processor in the MacBooks,
right?
This is for development.
Which,
reasons.
By the way, but that itself, I think, is very important because these people who get these things are going to leak, or I probably won't be able to, you know, talk about it specifically, but we're going to find out what the performance is like. And one of the things I've always said about this is, you know, macOS is a very different system than iOS or iPadOS. And a lot of the performance stuff that Apple's been touting and its fans have been touting is kind of an unknown because we don't know what that system is like when you run a real OS on it. Well, now we're going to know. And we're going to know on the exact same hardware. Well, no, that's not true. The exact same processor, that SoC system on a chip,
what is capable
that it uses in its iPads, right? Yeah. That's actually really interesting because in the future, I don't think that will always be the case that it will ever be the case. I think, like they said, because they said this, there's going to be a family of these things.
Yeah.
Some will go in the phones. Some will go in the iPads. Some of the ones from the iPads might go on the low-end Macs, but there'll be a family of them on the Mac, and the Mac versions will have higher power, probably worse battery life, and better GPUs, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
anyway, so, that's just fascinating, when this comes out.
So here's the interesting thing, right? I mean, we're going to kind of retouch on what you're saying. We're going to find out what you could actually do on an iPad. You know, when you look at these chips, because you got to also remember, they never talk about the specs of these chips, right? Like, I don't think anybody knows that the A12Z is an 8-core processor that's 2.5 gigahertz. Okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Nobody knows
because it doesn't matter because today, you know, you can't look at a list of numbers like that and then look at a list of numbers for an Intel or an A and B processor and say that these things line up in some way. You can't.
Yeah.
Here's what we do know. When you take a Qualcomm ARM processor and you stick it in a PC and all you do is kind of recompile the system to, you know, run on that system, it runs terrible. It's awful.
How great does that work, Paul?
And it's not very good. And if you run emulated and only 32-bit apps, that runs like crap. It's molasses. It's terrible. So, you know, what we've learned on the Windows side of the fence is that these chipsets need to be modified to run that software more effectively. And as you do that, the more you do it, you get a little closer to what people expect. You lose a lot of battery life, you know, and then you still have these lingering compatibility issues. 64-bit apps are a problem on Windows. They don't work. And all drivers do not work. That's a huge problem. Those are two things that Apple is not going to have a problem with. And those are huge advantages.
Well, emulation is going to be a problem also.
Well, that's the question. So you can't take everything that Apple says at a press event at face value. I mean, you know, it is very important in the very beginning when we hear from the people of those developer boxes, they'll run Microsoft Office as it exists today on that system and see what that looks like. Maybe it runs like crap. But, you know, they talk a good game. And by the way, they do have a rich history of making these transitions work. We'll see.
Yeah.
You know, we'll see.
So here's some of the questions that I have. One, where does – so they made a very good point at the end of the event.
Yep.
The thing.
Yep.
At the end of WWDC that this is not bye-bye to Intel, especially now. They're going to support Intel devices for a while. They have more Intel-based chips coming out, devices coming out in the next year or two. You know, now we're talking about a very different discussion, right? We know how this is going to perform on a MacBook Air, right? I get it. It'll run great. Your battery life, you'll have 400 hours of battery life on this thing. You can You'll never have to charge again. But how's this going to compare to the top-tier i9 MacBook Pro?
Right. So in the beginning, probably not too good. But, you know, what they were talking about was we're going to get there. And they did talk about a two-year transition. And so that means we're entering into a little bit of a dicey area, you know, in the short term. Because, first of all, we have to see what it really looks like today. So in 6 months from now or 9 months from now or 12 months from now, whatever it is, when you're choosing to buy a Mac, you know, you're going to make this consideration based on your needs. And yeah, I mean, for a college student, not this coming semester, but, you know, a year from now, a MacBook Air running one of these chips might be the best choice because it will run all day and they can go to school and that'll be great. Someone who wants a workstation today, does video processing, you know, that kind of thing, you're probably going to want to go with an Intel for the short term, but they showed that stuff off. See, that's the thing. Remember we talked about this, that there was a spectrum of possibilities from literally we're only going to run new apps or recompiled apps. We're not even going to try to do emulation all the way up to, oh yeah, we're switching the entire product line over. They went to that end of the spectrum.
Yeah.
And that is a shot across the bow of Microsoft and Qualcomm because, and this is, you know, maybe one of those little nuances people don't think about at all only a little bit, if ever, is Microsoft is not transitioning to ARM. What they're doing is offering ARM as another option. And in the Microsoft world, the Windows 10 on ARM systems that we see so far are thin and light devices. They're not inexpensive. They're not cheap devices because, frankly, the Qualcomm hardware was actually pretty expensive. So they're kind of what we would call like executive class devices. So they're kind of real thin, light. They're usually kind of 2-in-1. You know, it's a Windows PC. So we, you know, flip them around, turn them into tablets and all that stuff. But they're fairly expensive, you know, and the performance is still not great. And it still has all those compatibility issues. So it's really limited. But at least the message on that side is, well, you have a choice. I mean, look, if you need to run Photoshop or something, you buy a real computer. You'll be fine. On the Apple side, they are literally leaving Intel behind. Now, it's going to take years. But that's the message. Like, they're leaving Intel.
So,
you know,
here's a great question, right? So we're doing a show live, obviously, right after the event. Somebody said in the chat room, says, listen, and he has a serious question. He was looking to buy a new MacBook Pro. Does he buy one now?
Yep. Yeah, you do.
I said,
if you are buying a MacBook Pro, don't even think about that. You'll be fine. You want the Intel version. That's the one that's going to be nice. Yeah. The other thing is, look, I mean, this whatever the first system is, and there'll probably be two of them, not until the end of the year. I mean, if you need a computer, you just get a computer. You don't have to worry about this. This transition doesn't stop. You know, these universal apps, 3 years from now, 4 years from now, five, six, whatever years, the developers are still going to compile their apps to a universal format. They're always going to work on Intel. It doesn't go away. I mean, eventually it does, but many years down the line for that kind of thing. So there's no worries for compatibility, performance, et cetera. Every Mac app is going to keep running on your system. It doesn't just stop one day, you know, one day soon. I think that's, well, I mean, so in one of the world's weirdest coincidences, I woke up this morning. I knew this event was happening, obviously, going through my news feed. Usually I'm kind of annoyed by this kind of thing because one of the things I see in my news feed are things that are not news items necessarily, but are like sponsored links to stuff for sale. But in this case, I guess it wasn't sponsored, but some Mac site was like, hey, Apple has finally put the 2020 MacBook Air in the refurbished store for like $150 off per model. And oddly enough, I've been looking to buy something on the Mac side because I need something for the developer stuff. And I hate spending money on Apple hardware. I don't want to buy something new. It's not something I'm going to use day to day. Every day is my main machine. I just need it because I have to run Xcode. And I realize a MacBook Air is not the ideal system for this, but who cares? It's like, it's just a side thing. I don't care if it takes a little longer to compile. So like literally today I bought a MacBook Air. So yeah, knowing that this was coming, because let's face it. I mean, 6 months from now, a year from now, if you were a developer or someone who was a power user in any way and wanted kind of a MacBook Pro class experience, you're still going to get an Intel chip. You know, it's the right way to go.
So I have so many questions here and I want to present this in a way that, you know, it makes sense. So right now, they've obviously, this is the introduction, right? This is how they introduce this chip to the public, yep, to the developers. The biggest pro here is going to be for the developers, right? It's going to be a seamless transition from device to device, whether it's an iPhone, an iPad, or Mac OS. You're going to want to have your applications everywhere, essentially. You don't want to cut one out. You're going to want to scale everything to that device. How quickly will developers say, you know what, this is the future of the Mac? We have to have our apps there.
Well, so part of today's announcement was and I think you were talking to someone about this when I signed in, it's kind of the iPadification of the macOS user experience, right? So the macOS dock, the desktop, everything, it's going to look more like the iPad. And I think part of that is to ease this transition of the apps, because the big benefit here is going to be iPad apps coming to the Mac, which is something, you know, Apple's been working on for a couple of years now, right? And so the first year they had a handful of Apple apps. The second year they had a couple more and they allowed third-party support. So here we are entering year three. It was a Catalyst announcement. That's the name of the technology that they use for this. But I think that, you know, and they said something that I speculated on, they confirmed something I speculated, which was that in moving to the ARM platform, to the Apple Silicon platform, iPad apps can essentially run natively now, right? So they're not going to be emulated anymore. So the performance will be better. And in evolving Catalyst, they're going to have more facilities for developers to make those apps seem more native and have more native macOS features when run on the Mac. And those things are all important. So, you know, Apple kind of did it, and they did it in a couple of years, but the reality is we haven't seen a wellspring of Catalyst apps yet, and it hasn't been super important. But I think maybe with this year three, or for third-party developers this year two, that stuff can finally start to happen. Yeah. We'll see. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm very curious how they actually release the hardware, because that's going to be the big story here, right? Like, they can talk about this all they want, but they have to be very careful. So they're saying by the end of the year, I'm imagining that fall announcement is going to have a ARM-based Mac in the lineup. Which Mac do you do it with? Do you just jump head first and say, listen, we have an option on every line. You could have a MacBook Pro with this. You could have a MacBook Air with this.
Yeah. You and I and others had speculated earlier, the logical way to go would be you start with the MacBook. You bring it back.
Yeah.
Or maybe you have a MacBook Air, you know. Credible rumors, and by credible, I mean they come from a credible source. I think Kuo or somebody said that Apple was going to release two ARM-based Macs this fall, and they were kind of they were both unexpected.
13-inch iMac MacBook Pro.
And a MacBook Pro.
Yeah.
So that's not the way I would have done it, you know. I mean, if I was going to go Mac desktop, I probably would have done the Mac Mini, you know, and I would have done a MacBook or a MacBook Air. But, you know, I don't run Apple, obviously, so who cares what I would do? But then you get into the situation where on both of those systems, you're going to have Apple and Intel versions of the same design, aren't you? It seems like you are. They're not going to get rid of the, you know, they're not going to get rid of the Intel version of the MacBook Pro, right?
I don't. That is a marketing nightmare.
Yep. Yeah. I know, but their
point is everything is going to work. Don't worry about it. You know, it's not like on the Windows side where an ARM-based Windows machine will not do what the Intel-based one does. I get that. I get that that's what they're selling. But if I'm walking into a store and I'm paying, what are you going to pay for this ARM-based MacBook?
Oh, it's not going to be cheap. So that's the thing. It's not going to be cheaper. But that's not what you're getting. So I wonder, you know, you notice the dev system with 16 gigs of RAM. I'm wondering if on ARM, especially on the Pro devices, if 16 becomes the base on the RAM instead of 8, because that makes, because of the processor, right? Maybe that helps.
What are they now? Is it 16 or is it still 8?
No, you can get 8. Am I right about that?
I think the base, right.
But you know, whatever. We consider and speculate all day long, but one of the big advantages that Apple has is its user base. And these guys are a lot more accepting and they go in very clear-headed about what they're doing. Like a consumer who buys an Apple silicon-based iMac or something, typically is going to know what they're doing. They know what they know what the trade-off is. And by that time, we'll know, you know, how it works. You know, the problem that Microsoft faces, has always faced, is that its user base is less educated. I don't mean that like, you know, didn't go to college. I mean, they're less educated about the technology and the products. You know, they probably don't feel as strongly about the brand, you know. And that's, you know, that's the problem with Windows 10S mess mode and RT back in the day and now Windows 10 on ARM is, you know, they're buying this computer and they think they're buying a computer. And then they get it home and they won't run the app that they want. And they're like, what the hell is this thing?
Yeah.
So Apple, you know, Apple, they're going to handle that part of it better.
I would, if I were to say what they need to do, bring, like we discussed, bring back the MacBook. That is your entry. Yeah, and you know why?
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you why. As a marketer, right? Because that's what I am. I'm a technology enthusiast, but I'm a marketer more than anything else. I do business strategy and marketing, and that's why Paul keeps me around. He constantly asks me, how do I market this haircut?
What do I do
with my looks?
Yes.
I dress him up in a blue shirt, and I tell him, listen, that's your look. That's your brand.
This is all you got, buddy. You got to go with it.
But if I'm going to market this, I would stay far away from the Pro line. I would introduce the MacBook. Return them because I'll tell you why. That butterfly keyboard is gone, right?
Right.
They've updated the keyboard, so great. Now you got the new keyboard that everybody hated. That's gone.
Andrew,
you're going to add
something to think about.
Go ahead.
Remember, Apple just released a rev to the 13-inch MacBook Pro line has that butterfly keyboard with the 10th-gen chips. But it didn't go to 14 inches. Like the 15 went to 16. They filled that space. On the 13, they kept the same exact form factor. They kept the same bezels, and they didn't bump it up. And everyone was like, why would they do that? Hmm. And the rumors were, they are going to make that transition. That's going to come next year. What if that's one of the ways that they get people to go ARM, is that will be the 14-inch version.
And I'm going to tell you.
Will be the ARM chip.
I would immediately recommend buying that.
Right? Well, that gets interesting. I mean, because now the 13-inch, not only is it running Intel, which is probably performing better and, you know, whatever, but it looks less modern. You know, maybe with the iMac, we knew that a new design iMac was coming this fall. What if that's the one that's ARM, and then they keep the existing design for the Intel? And that's one of the ways they kind of grease the skids to get...
They're going to have to.
People, we can only speculate. You know, we might as well. But, I mean, that's... You know, it's one possibility.
Yeah. I think that is the way to do it, honestly. But you're going to have to have more than just ARM, right? Like, the big selling point here, other than the aesthetic change to the device like they're recommending, and I think that may... I didn't even think of that. Having a 14-inch MacBook Pro with the ARM-based chipset would be the selling point of that. Because I got to tell you, that 13-inch and the 16-inch... The 16-inch is way too big. And the 13-inch is just a tad small. You need that sweet spot. This is the way to do it.
Yeah. By the way, if they had released a 14-inch, I probably would have splurged already and bought it. That is what I would have bought.
That's
and the reason I... The MacBook Pro makes it hard.
With the Intel. With Intel as well.
Yeah, because, well, because look at the choices today. First of all, it's 13-inch. Like, why did they just make it bigger? But then you have, like, the cheap one, the relatively cheap one, is, like, 8th gen, 2 ports. And you have to spend, like, $17.99 to get 4 ports in the new chipset. And it still has a 13-inch display. And it's like, guys, what are you doing? So, you know, I spend less than $1,000 to get a MacBook, you know, MacBook Air. Who cares? But, I mean, I would have spent more if I, you know, if they had made it make sense.
Yeah. Well, listen, even a 15-inch in its current form factor with thinner bezels, that's a decent size too. There, but unfortunately, there is no 15-inch MacBook Pro anymore.
Right, right.
They actually went big. People don't realize that the new 16-inch one is much larger, it's thicker, right, and it's way heavier than this behemoth of a laptop.
Sure. I'm surprised you can lift that with the one hand. Have you been working out?
I have, actually, yeah. I've been doing push-ups. That's the only way I could carry this thing.
I've been doing MacBook lifts.
I just curl. I just 16-inch MacBook Pros all
day. I just like sit there. Yeah. You
know? That's the only way you could hold this thing. But you know, we gotta. If you really look at it this way, what? Why would I want to buy this? Obviously, they're gonna talk about that battery life till no end.
Yeah.
Best battery life in class.
I'm surprised
all time.
They didn't raise the battery life issue. Not because they could have said some number that makes sense, but you know, one of the things we have, one of the actual benefits of Windows 10 on ARM is until they've moved to those more recent chips, they were able to say, hey, look, this thing gets like 20, 25 hours of battery life. Now that's not true of the really customized versions anymore, but this, you know, battery life is still one of those things. I mean, it seems like something they could have marketed.
Yeah. I mean, did they discuss what they're going to do with the GPU?
No, and so the A series chipset has, like all ARM chips, right? Has some kind of a GPU built in or you know, attached to it on the SoC. So, what they did say was family of products. So, I think we're going to see a range of that stuff. And again, we have to speculate. So, MacBook Air probably will get the same. God, there's such the MacBook Air will probably get the same chips that the iPad has, right? The iPad Pro and the entry-level MacBook Pro might have the same chipset. And then, you know, for the upper-level devices, they're going to have to go super customized, more GPU, more CPU, et cetera. So who knows, you know, but it's going to be something like that.
Well, listen, we know that they're going to be 8-core processors, at least. We know that, right?
What about multiprocessor? Didn't we raise that issue before? I mean,
yeah, we did.
If Mac Pro, MacBook Pro, I mean... you know, a 16-inch MacBook Pro running this thing. I mean, why not have two of them? I don't know. Maybe that might not make sense in the ARM world. I have no idea. But yeah, we'll see. I there was that Spectrum, and they clearly landed right on the far right of it. And so they're going whole hog into this, and that's really interesting. I mean, it's just really interesting. So we'll see what that looks like.
So for people who don't have a Mac, the way that they work now, let's say you get a MacBook Pro, right? It obviously has the built-in Intel graphics, right? Whatever, the 645, right? That would be the Intel built-in.
Or the Iris Pro or whatever.
Or the Iris Pro, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But you also have Plus, whatever it is. A secondary GPU. So the way that mine works on my MacBook Pro, my 15, 16-inch model, when you have – so when it's unplugged from charge – you're running on the Intel, you're running defaults to the Intel chipset, the Intel GPU, so you're saving on the battery life. However, if you're plugged in and the application is tuned for this, it's running an AMD Radeon. So,
right.
I'm curious.
There's going to be something. Yeah, there'll be something. There'll be some, maybe we don't see it this November, but there's going to be some external GPU. There has to be for it to compete. There has to be. Look, we've seen ARM chips in servers, like in data centers. We don't really see ARM chips in desktop class computers, and we certainly haven't seen ARM chips in systems that have expansion boards, right? So this is like kind of all new territory. And you think about something like a Mac Pro, which is essentially a tower type computer. What is that going to look like? You know,
the Mac Pro?
That'll be one of the last ones to go.
Can they charge $6,000 for a Mac Pro now?
I don't know. This is
ARM-based processor.
I mean, we literally have no idea how they're going to do this.
Yeah, I don't know.
It may not be possible. I mean, at some point, machine? I mean, Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I you could almost imagine them saying, look, for our workstation class products, we have to continue use, because don't they have like Xeon options or something? Like, these are super high-end computers, right?
Bruce in our chat room said, let's see, 32-core Apple Silicon MacBook Pro or 64-core Apple Silicon?
I don't, you know.
I that's what they're going to have to do.
Look, I mean, honestly, maybe that stuff is less interesting anyway. I think what most people are looking for is MacBook Air, MacBook Pro, iMac, whatever. You know, we'll see.
Listen, it's going to be a fascinating transition because it relies a lot on the software side also. So the virtualization is an interesting aspect to this because that's really going to be the key. Obviously, on the Windows side, they've improved it tremendously, right? Emulation hardware-wise, software-wise has been a tremendous improvement for ARM, but it's still not great. So here's one of my questions. If you're running Parallel, can you still run Windows on this machine?
Yes. So,
how good is it going to run?
You got to remember, Parallels used to be available on the PowerPC Mac. There were things like, what's it called, Virtual PC? Whatever the Kinectix product was, well, I guess it was Virtual PC, VMware, et cetera. The performance was not great, but remember the point of that at the time was you wanted to run those apps. It was about getting Windows apps on the box, and it was better than nothing. I think the big difference between today and back then is most Mac users don't need those apps anymore. And the instances in which you're going to run Windows in virtualization or need to dual boot using Bootcamp are, if not zero, are much closer to zero. So I think it was very telling, by the way, that they showed running Linux in a virtual machine, because that's frankly the more typical scenario, and it's very developer oriented. This is not something a business user would need or an individual. It's for developers. It's the reason Microsoft put Windows Subsystem for Linux in Windows 10. It's so you can run Linux in a very light VM with great performance and access that developer workflow, all the tools that you need on Linux without having to use two different computers. And I think on the Mac, it's kind of the same deal, basically. Yeah. So I don't know. I don't expect to see Bootcamp on the system. I don't see the point of it. If you had to run Windows, yes, it will work. Again, the performance is an open question at this point, just like everything else. But they're saying they're going to make it work.
That's what they're saying. What do you think the battery life's going to be? Come on, Paul. Give me your guess. Let's do this.
Well, what's the battery life today? So in other words, if you have a MacBook Air today, what's the real life battery life on that system?
Which one are we going to go with? 13-inch MacBook Pro?
Yeah, sure.
All right, let's do realistically. 13-inch MacBook Pro battery life. What do they claim? 10 hours and 39 minutes. This is a 2019. Yeah, so that's what they're claiming.
So for this thing to in any way deliver real-world performance that meets or exceeds that system, the battery life can't be, it's not going to be over 20 hours. Like, it can't. If it's an improvement at all, that's fine, but it has to also offer the same performance. And again, this requires a lot of speculation, but what we've seen on the Microsoft 8, what's it called? SQ1 chip, which they worked on with Qualcomm, or the Qualcomm 8CX chip, battery life is not north of 20 hours, right? And so I think what you're going to see is tiered battery life numbers on the Mac. You're going to see above 10 hours, and we'll say it's 12 to 15, whatever it is. But that's going to be for non-emulated apps, right? So if you're running just native ARM apps, all the stuff built into the operating system and apps that have been recompiled by their developers, so they run natively on Apple Silicon or ARM, it will be better. That's my guess. Yeah. But I think once you throw in Photoshop Elements, the Intel version, or what as we'll call it now, or so many apps on the Mac,
so like around Windows. I mean, they showed Excel on that demo. So Microsoft has been working on getting this working.
Yeah, right. So you notice too, right? One of the big blockers for Mac OS X when it first came out was that Adobe didn't port Photoshop immediately. Mm-hmm. And now, of course, Adobe is not just Photoshop. It's the entire CC suite. And one of the day one things they announced is Adobe is porting their entire CC suite over to this new system. And that's important because that would really hold back the platform, just like not having Office would hold back the platform somewhat. Right. So, yeah, I mean, they're doing all the right moves.
Oh, I mean, they gotta have everything on there. You know? You want to talk about the operating system itself?
You mean the Big Sur thing?
Yeah. So we'll go into this because obviously a lot of this is going to play into each other, right? Mm-hmm. The bigger thing here, obviously, we'll pull up the story and all the changes is iOS, standard iOS changes. We'll talk about iOS. We'll talk about iOS 14 next. Let's skip the Mac. I'm going to go to the Mac last.
Yeah. Okay.
No, you know what? Never mind. Let's go with the Mac now because it's going to tie in. So they kind of showed. There's so much information here. I'm trying to follow it. On the Mac software side, it's the end of OS 10. It's OS 11.
Well, it's just Mac OS, right? I mean, they're just
Mac OS 11. The number. Yeah.
No, but you know, 11.7? But you don't do that because you're trying to ease the friction on this transition. So the idea here is that. Users don't have to think about it, right? So it's just Mac OS. You know, they don't use the 10 anymore. The 10's gone, even though it's really there, right? So I think that's how they do it. It's just Mac OS, you know, and that's a smart marketing wise, is smart.
Yeah. iMessages app now has full featured, on the iPad and like in iOS. Did they say if they changed it over to, if it's a brand new app that they rebuilt?
The messages one?
Yeah.
I might have lost that because at the end they said that at least Maps was actually the, the iPad app. And it wouldn't surprise me if Messages was too, but I might have missed that. I think there was a list of apps that they said, hey, we showed you these things before. They're actually the iPad version.
Yeah. The mail app is different. Yeah. We know that. They changed the mail app. It's not a tremendous changeover, but this is where everything changes now. As a developer, how much more inclined are you now to have your apps on the Mac platform? Because with Catalyst and everything that they did, it hasn't gripped like they thought it would. And I'm actually very surprised it didn't grip the way they had anticipated it to. The apps on the Mac right now that are brought over from iOS, not that great. And I use these. I use these apps.
I'm surprised by this too.
I don't know why they're not that great, but I'll give you a great example of this. Right, the I'm not talking about the in-house built apps. Right, the ones that Apple built work perfectly fine. It's just a preference at this point, right? If you like it or not. But example, Twitter. The Twitter app on the Mac, which is ported over, right? They claim, this was a big part of them, that the Twitter app is coming back to Mac.
Right. Right.
It is terrible. It is a terrible application.
Just use the PWA, guys. Come on.
It's a terrible application. You could see how much memory leak it has. I have a tool that I use on the Mac that I could see what's using more CPU, what's using more memory, and I could just see this after having this running. If I disconnect my battery, my laptop from charge, and I let this battery drains immediately, and I've seen this happen with other apps that were brought over to the Mac from iOS.
Right.
They have to get this right first.
Yeah. Look, they are going to get it right. And aside from the fact that this stuff will run better because of the underlying architecture, it's kind of a gimme. That's good. Look, this is the second year it's been available to third-party developers. There's going to be improvements. They talked about some of the stuff. I think there might have been one of those all-on things where all the different features you're going to get, it was kind of hard to pay attention to because it went by so quick. But, the key for making most iPad apps run well on Mac OS is going to be that the developer takes the time to add the native features that make it make sense. And a lot of developers aren't going to do that. I mean, so the trick here is that the Mac is a relatively small user base compared to mobile. But on the other hand, it also gives you the option, depending on the app, to add features that are unique to the platform that make it more powerful on the Mac. And I think it was you and I think we had talked maybe about the possibility in the future with this change, and maybe there'll be a thing for WWC 21 or whatever, is bringing Mac apps now that they can be recompiled for ARM down to iPad Pro, especially, you know, and that's really interesting.
Why can't you have an option? I mean, you know what's the best potential?
You know, first things first, right?
On the Mac, on the iPad, right? This is not going to happen tomorrow, but essentially, you could run Mac OS. Why can't you have a desktop mode for the Pro user that it flips over to it?
Well, the other thing is, you know, Apple has been very adamant about not bringing touch to the Mac for some reason.
Do you do it now?
I think there are huge reasons to do that. But once you get Xcode on ARM, which is their developer environment, you know, one of the advantages of having touch when you're developing apps is that you can touch them on the screen. It's actually a huge benefit. So on the Windows side, when we develop Windows apps or Android apps or whatever, we can touch the screen and move things around just like you do on the device. It's kind of a big deal. Imagine if you could use Xcode. Xcode would be a great example of a Mac app that needs to be on the iPad. Bringing that down to one iPad Pro, pretty, you know, high-end specs, keyboard, trackpad, whatever. Plug in your iPhone and make apps. That's a whole new world right there, you know.
Listen, Jan in our chat room, great example. What if they did it with external monitor support on the Pros?
Yeah.
A lot. A lot is going to change. You brought up the touch aspect to the MacBooks.
Right.
They are, and I'm going to give my kids as a great example, right? Mm-hmm. My kids have no concept of a laptop not being touch. Does not exist to them.
As it turns out, I also have no concept of this because literally just today, I brought out this HP laptop I forgot I had. And I'm like, oh, I should bring this, you know, get this thing up to date. And I'm tapping this like the top of it. I'm like, what's going on here? Doesn't have touch.
Yeah, very interesting. Very interesting. So on the Mac side, obviously software wise, was there anything that stood out to you that they announced
on the Mac
OS?
No, I kind of goofed around about the new UI, lipstick on a pig, et cetera. But the truth is, modernizing and simplifying that OS, that UX, I should say, it makes sense. You know, it's fine. And I know there are going to be like pro users grumbling, oh, they're, you know, dumbing it down like the iPad and whatever. And, you know, I think making the look and feel similar is a good idea. Yeah. I like the transparency stuff. I know they've always had that, whatever. They're overemphasizing that again. I think it looks nice. To me, that's most of the stuff that's on a Mac, I just don't care about. So
how about Safari, you know, Paul?
Safari would be one of those things I couldn't care less about. So, like, good for the, no, it's good. Like, I get it. They're going to do tracking protection. Well, they already do some form of tracking protection, whatever. So that's fine. And there were people that are going to want that. And it's good.
Yeah.
I just don't care about it personally. But
it's now time for iOS. Guys, before we continue, I want to remind everybody, if you enjoy this podcast, stay tuned. Right after we finish, we do What the Talk. Paul and I do an extra 20 minutes of bonus content that we release on Patreon. If you enjoy the show, you want to support us, you go to patreon.com/mattman. Wrong show. Patreon.com/whatthetech.
Wow.
Yeah, sorry, Paul. I've been doing that all day. I got a lot going on. patreon.com/whatthetech. Mm-hmm. You can go there as little as $1 per episode. You get access to our bonus content. Also, if you're watching live on YouTube, hit the subscribe button. If you're listening anywhere else, you can subscribe to us. We're everywhere podcasts are available, and it helps us out when you do that. And also, hit like us. Hit the like button. Smash the like button. Is that what they say?
Ring the bell.
Ring the bell. Remember to ring the bell. iOS 14. Ring the little red bell. This was another one. A lot of changes here with widgets. Widgets are here.
You know,
where do you want to go with this?
I'm okay with all of this stuff. I still don't understand why you can't just put a freaking icon anywhere on the screen. Like, why? What is the holdup with this? Everything starts in the upper left, which, you know, with most people are right-handed, and you're holding it in your right hand, and it is the furthest point on the screen. You can't reach it. You have to use it two-handed. So he's like, you know, Craig Federini, one of the first things he says, I got all my favorite apps right there at the top. It's like, yeah, right where you can't reach them. You know, like, one of the best things about Android is that you can array – the icons anywhere you want on screen, and I do, and I hope most people do, is smart. You put them on the bottom. You leave the top is empty. You know, yeah. You can use it one-handed. It's just logical.
So all I could think of, so I'm trying to find, you know what's funny? I feel like everybody's half-assing this coverage. Nobody has, like, just simplified like usual. I think because people are running on such small teams right now. Everything's all over the place. It was
blasted out really quick. I mean, a lot of the new features in each of these releases came out on a single slide that was on screen for like 3 seconds, and it was a bunch of words.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, for example, like one of the things that was in there, it might've been on the iPad side, but I assume it's on iOS and iPadOS, is you're going to be able to set your default email and browser apps for the first time. You know, I mean, how innovative, but I mean, how important. Like, to me, that's right up there with putting icons where you want them on the screen. It's like obvious. It should have been there years ago. So it's stupid that it wasn't. I'm glad this is finally happening. I wish they would do more, you know?
Yeah. So you're going to have, obviously, changes to messaging. You're going to have widgets now everywhere. I'm curious to see how people use this. I generally did not use it on Android as much as some other people. Like, I know people that's all they do is, I mean, every page that they're on with their apps, they have widgets on there. I just like the weather widget, and I like my email widget, and that was it. That's all I would use. So,
yeah, I mean, actually, that'd be a good way to fill up that space. I guess you could push the icons down by putting some big widgets up there.
Yeah. So they're going to do that. What else is here? Paul, anything stand out?
The ability to put widgets on the home pages and to have resizable widgets. And I know, you know, like, look, yeah, we had these things in Live Tiles. We have these things on Android, blah, 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 whatever. It's good. It's all good. Like, this is what should happen.
Yeah. Yeah. So widgets, you're going to have Siri now does Google, includes a Google Translate like app, which I think that one's going to be very, like, I travel a lot, so that's very handy. I like that. That's a cool app. Obviously, you're going to have a different grouping of conversations, all that. Apple Maps, update to Apple Maps. The CarPlay concept is fascinating to me on how long it takes automotive car manufacturers to implement this in their CarPlay. They showed a BMW, which is not a cheap BMW, and they were showing how your key now is shareable. Amongst, you know, you could do restricted access, which is going to be great for teenage drivers. You're going to be able to give a key for like a day or two. Very cool. I like that. That's different. It's a nice little addition. Anything else I'm missing here? Any big parts of this?
I spent the entire event waiting for the Mac thing, you know, which... I mean, whatever. I mean, I will say there was less going on the iPad side than I thought there was going to be. It was mostly like, hey, we're going to pick up all the stuff from iOS. Yeah. You know, like, of course you are. I thought, you know, given that they actually split out iPadOS, they have these pro devices now with keyboards and trackpads. I thought, you know, there'd be bigger gains on the iPadOS side.
I thought so, too. I thought they would have, you know, the last 2 years, they made big gains. You know, they made it feel more like an operating system. Obviously, trackpad support now and
a lot of
that.
It's, you know, the multitasking stuff and side-by-side apps and all this kind of stuff. And there was nothing on that. There was nothing. And I thought that was kind of interesting. But whatever. It's okay. You know, it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. The one thing that stood out to me, and I tweeted about this as a joke, and I got a message from somebody. That he doesn't follow me. I guess he was just following the hashtag. My tweet was that the ability to hide pages where your apps are, right?
Yes, yes.
That is going to be a nightmare. And I'm going to explain to you why. And I tweeted that the Genius Bar is going to have a lot of overtime with people waiting in line saying, oh, my apps are gone. My apps are gone. And they disabled it somehow. And that was my tweet. And this guy wrote to me and he goes... I just saw this and I said, O-S, because he's a genius, right? An Apple genius.
Right.
And he goes, I didn't even consider how many people are going to come for that stupid thing, which is a possibility. Listen, I've been to the Apple store many times and I've seen the crazy stuff people go in there for because it's available and that you can. This is going to be a problem with people hiding their apps and not understanding how this works.
Right. This is what happens when you don't have an all apps list, right? Like every other OS on Earth.
Yeah.
And you make everyone put everything on the home screens, and they expand and expand and expand. And then you're like, okay, hold on. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to add folders, right? Now you can hide stuff in folders. It's like, great. But I don't really want the folder on the screen. See, the thing is, the home screen is like where the shortcuts are for the apps I want to run. Like, why can't my infrequently used apps just be somewhere else? And Apple's like, they can't be somewhere else because we're Apple. How about if we let you hide them? Yeah. It's like, guys, Jesus, like just, I don't know, whatever. They're unique. They're a little, they're the snowflake company.
I'm curious how much of an issue they have here.
I know.
Listen, man, you know, this was they stuck strictly to development. They did not unveil any hardware. I know a lot of people were.
Right.
That doesn't hardware announcement. I
will say, by the way, on that point, sorry, that one of the weird, and this is not unique to Apple, to be honest, but it is kind of a weird thing. I think this every year. They talk about all these great iOS features, and then you want to see like a new iPhone, you know? Or they talk about all these iPadOS features, like, all right, so let's, you know, show us a new iPad. And it's like, that's not part of it, you know? The watch was like that. You know, updating features on watchOS to me is not particularly interesting. If there was an exciting new watch coming that they could do the demo on, see, I think that might have gotten more people excited about that stuff.
Yeah.
I know they have their own release schedule or whatever, but.
So what was the big update with tvOS? Because I stepped away. I had to step away when they were going over tvOS. Anything?
Home app has gone it. No, it was minor. That was the TVOS stuff was pretty minor.
Nothing really. I'm just trying to. And then WatchOS had, you know, small changes to it. But
sleep tracking, like eliminating. Oh, no, there it is. I'm sorry. That was. Oh, no. Did they add sleep tracking? I think they did. Did they?
They added more.
I zoned out during this.
Yeah, through the Apple Watch stuff. The guy that's never lifted a weight talking about it.
He's like in a gym. Like, they had to make it virtual because it's clear this guy would never step in a gym.
Yeah.
But, by the way, give him credit. Kevin is his first name because, you know, that woman he cut to was doing like all these dance moves. And I was like, pretty like, good for her. You know,
she's able to do it. Good for her.
Yeah. No, she looked great. And then they switched back to him and he did like one as well. And I thought that was cute. That was good. Good for him.
Yeah. This is, you know, we are now, you know, we spoke about this last week. I mean, we spoke about this for a long time where Apple's peak to a lot of people was around 2012, 2011 when they unveiled the MacBook, the iPad 2, and they were just really in high gear with, you know.
Yep.
Not, I guess you would say revolutionary products. I think the iPad was a revolutionary product. They created an entire market for tablets, and they were the only ones that were able to do it. We're now in another transitionary period where, if this ARM concept, obviously they're going to be able to do it, right? If anybody could do ARM on a PC or ARM on a laptop, it would be Apple because they control the software, they control the hardware, and they're able to kind of bridge this gap. Where does the PC industry now go? Because you have seen on the phone side, they followed Apple. On the tablet side, they attempted to follow Apple. It did not work. And so, now we're on the laptop side where we going to see more and more ARM-based devices?
First of all, the world is very different today, right? So there was a lot of Apple envy during the whole iPod, iPhone, and then I guess iPad maybe, but that whole time frame. Today, Apple is really just a fast follower. And actually, they're a slow follower. So, I mean, like, yeah. I mean, you know, and that's fine. I mean, the truth is, Apple, when they were moving quickly like they were at the time, was a smaller company and was a minority player in the industry. Today, they are dominant. They have a humongous audience. And now it makes sense for them to move in a more measured way. And I think it makes sense. Like, one of the most striking things to me about this Mac transition is just the mature way in which they're going out and doing it. Microsoft and its partners released stuff that didn't work, that worked slow, that was crappy. And it was poorly received and no one bought it. And then they did a second gen that was crappy and was poorly received and no one bought it. Then they did a third version that was a little less crappy, but no one had bought it. And is that really is that a smart strategy? Apple sat on this stuff until it was ready to go. And you can kind of make fun of, like, they never, you know, they always wait, they're always slow, whatever. But you know what? The result is something that's going to work. And you have to respect that. You have to respect it. Apple, you know, we'll see. They've always been very aggressive about getting rid of old technology. It's going to be fascinating to see them do it to something as important to the Mac product line as, like, Intel processors. It's crazy. But, you know, they don't take that step until it's ready. If Apple released products like Microsoft did, they would be ridiculed endlessly. Microsoft releases these stupid ARM things that nobody can use, nobody wants, and nobody even notices, you know, except for the enthusiast guys. I mean, it's, I don't know. I there's a lot of hubris and stuff I don't like about Apple, but I have to respect the way they're doing this. And so you were talking about, you know, like, that exciting period. Absolutely. But, you know, one of the ways you can bring some excitement back to a product, like especially a legacy product like the Mac, you want to inject a little excitement into it. Let's do a platform transition. Suddenly the next 2 years look pretty interesting, don't they?
Yeah.
You know, because there's going to be a lot of stuff going on along the side of it too. So
listen, I think this is the end of, honestly, something that has not been discussed is I believe this is the end of the way that we see Mac OS, the UI of Mac OS, this is the beginning of the transition.
Yeah.
Because this only leads to other things. You know, now you incorporate touch, which they're going to have to.
So, I don't remember when this was, but a million years ago, I don't know, at some point, they brought like the, what was essentially the iPhone home screen to the Mac. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
There was an alternate launcher you could use that was like a row of icons. It was the stupidest freaking thing in the world. No, this is the literal icons. It was dumb. It's probably still in there somewhere. It has whatever the name is. I don't remember. But bringing the look and feel, like the general look and feel.
Oh, launchpad. Okay. Launchpad.
Yeah, whatever. It was stupid. So, but bringing, like, making your products look and feel more like each other, I actually think kind of makes sense. Like, one of the things that I think is a little awkward on the watch, and I know some of it is just driven by the form factor, is that it doesn't really resemble the other platforms. And the app, which they're renaming to Fitness, but whatever that Apple Watch app was, with the weird colored rings and everything, it's like this UI that only exists in this one place. And I always felt like it was kind of out of place. So I honestly, on the Mac, I think that new UI, that kind of, it's not really new, but refreshed, you know, you kind of, it's like literally a can of paint. You walk around and fix everything up. I think it looks great. I think it looks modern. You know, I think it's nice that Mac or Apple users are going to want that.
Yeah. Well, listen, one thing that the big advantage Apple has here is that they don't really have to stick to legacy because they don't have the market share that Microsoft does. You know, the issues with Microsoft, and we talk about it all the time.
Yeah, but you know what?
The fact that they got to support everything.
Okay. So I'm sorry. Actually, I kind of stepped around this earlier. Let me be a little clearer about this because this is something I don't feel has been properly enunciated or said or whatever. Is Microsoft wants to make this transition too, right? They want to do what Apple's doing. They can't. So they're taking baby steps like they always do. They're working with partners. They're not just working with Intel on special chips. They're working with AMD on special chips and with Qualcomm on special chips. God help us, there'll probably be a fourth company someday soon. They can't take this step and say, we need to get here because they're so reliant on their partners. The real reason that Microsoft went to ARM years ago was because of Intel. They couldn't stand that this company was dominant and wasn't moving quickly enough to adopt the mobile technologies that would allow their products to run thin, light, fanless, epic battery life, constant connectivity. Mm-hmm. Intel's always been focused on the high end of, you know, the performance end of the spectrum. And they're like, no, the future of these devices is smaller, lighter, et cetera. And so that's how that all kind of came about. But they don't have the, I don't know if it's intestinal fortitude or just their ability, because they rely so much on their partners. They can't do what Apple is doing. It has to be really frustrating.
Listen, the MacBook Air is what, $899 starting? $999 starting, right? $999.
$850 in refurbished start.
Refurbished $850. What if they say, you know what? Let's try something different.
Yeah.
They introduce a $699 MacBook.
I know.
What happens to the market then?
By the way,
you just introduced the Mac to people that were up until this moment out of your price range.
Exactly. By the way, they did that. So remember, the iPad surged back
when they dropped the price.
It sounded like my son was bouncing a basketball above my head. I thought the roof was going to come in. Yes. So, listen, I am not predicting some kind of a Mac surge or anything like that, but I will say, we're in a weird spot right now where Microsoft is really pissing off their users in Windows 10 with updates that don't work properly, with updates that come too frequently, with inbox advertising and crapware. It's like they're baiting us to leave. Yeah. And if, you know, Apple saw with the iPad when they lowered the price, oh my God, it takes off. They saw this with the Mac, iPad, iPhone SE.
And not only did it lower take
the
off,
price,
Paul,
oh my God.
Paul, it was the sales were just plateaued. They just sat there.
Oh yeah, no, they dropped that price. It was worse than that. They had gone down for like 6 years. So yeah, a viable Mac in the mid to high hundreds would change a lot of people's mind, because people sort of understand, like, we're going to pay a little more for this. But if you could sell one in that price range, they would get switchers. And that's something Apple has not talked about in a decade or more. Like, Mac switchers has just not been a thing. But the market is ripe. And listen, I want to be clear. I am not predicting that's going to happen. I'm not. But
very interesting if it does, because that's an industry disruptor as far as.
Or you're sending a kid to school, you know? Yeah. That makes the Mac much more approachable. It's very interesting.
And here's your argument never to go touchscreen, right? You want a touchscreen device? Okay. You get an iPad. You want to get a Mac?
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, that's by the way, that's literally the strategy. They want you to buy an iPad and an iPhone and a Mac and a watch. That's the strategy.
You're subscribed
to all the services.
That's
of course.
What it is. You're tied
by
in.
By the way, you know, whatever. They're a company. They're not a charity. There's nothing wrong with that.
You know, you're looking at how many iPhones are out in the public right now?
Close to a billion. The last time they said a number, I think it was 900 something million. Yeah.
The hardest part is introducing someone, the environment, the ecosystem that you've created.
Yeah, but you know what? If it looks like the iPhone, you know, in other words, you have an iPhone, right? Because 50% of Americans have an iPhone. Or you have an iPad and an iPhone. A lot of people do that. And now you're going to make the Mac simpler and have it look like that stuff and run the same apps. It gets really interesting. I'm just saying, like, that is where you would get, that's where you get people into the fold. It can't cost $2,000.
It's not a tablet. You know, if you want touchscreen, you still go with an iPad. You could go from, you know, if you want a pro, you're going to spend $1,200 to get the highest end one. But if you want an introductory, if you want a device for your kid going to college, or you want a device for your kid in high school, and you don't want to get a MacBook Pro or spend, you know, $1,100, $1,200, $799. I'm just, by the way, again, we're playing a game here, right? We're fan fiction. We're saying, how would this change? A $799 Mac to introduce you to the Mac platform. You're in there. You're locked. You're locked in. You're not leaving after that.
Yep. Yeah.
You have an iPhone. You have an iPad. Now you have a Mac. You're not going back to PC. You're not going to Android. The odds of you doing that. Every device that you are using that is part of one.
Oh yeah, no. Every by the way, every as long yeah as long as you multiply the number of Apple devices you have, the chances of you switching platforms go down astronomically, because the switching costs at that point become truly difficult. Yep. No. And the benefits of having multiple devices. So you're working on a Mac, and you can handle your messages from that computer. Huge.
Yeah,
you know, like the cross-platform benefits that they only give themselves are real-world benefits for people. So yeah, I mean, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah, they did have a AirPod announcement too, which I found fascinating. So they had that AirPod announcement, right? But they did not talk about new hardware.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, a lot of this stuff should have been, because it's coming to existing devices, it will be a firmware update.
I would have waited. I would have been like, hey, by the way, guys.
I know. That's my point. That's what I mean. I think for stuff, I forgot about the AirPod part of it, but the I feel that way about the TV stuff, about the watch stuff. If it's weird having it disconnected from new hardware, because one of the cool things you can do when you introduce that stuff is say, oh, and it's coming to, you know, the existing devices too. And then existing customers don't feel left out, but whatever, they have their own schedule.
Yeah. It was a fascinating announcement. You know what? I would not mind it if they did this every year. This is the new announcement now. This is how you do it.
Yeah, except they love to be in front of a friendly audience and get cheering, you know?
Yeah. So we'll see. Mixer, you want to talk about Mixer before we go into what to talk?
No.
Mixer's dead.
Mixer was a failure. It was always a failure. They gave it the old college try. They paid a couple of streamers a lot of money. That money is now lost, and it didn't work. So that's it. That one's tough because they make one of the big gaming platforms, and they should have been able to make it work. And honestly, Mixer was pretty good, but nobody used it.
Nobody used it. Yeah. So they're teaming up with Facebook.
Great. You know, there's
another great platform,
trustworthy brand for you to turn to. Thanks,
another
Microsoft.
Another great platform for them to do. I think this was I like this announcement by Apple. If we're going to summarize this, I'm curious to see where we go when we push forward with this.
Right.
I'm curious to see how some of the applications, obviously we're not going to go into everything, like the Photos app is different. It's interesting because a couple years ago, that Photos app was so important to update when they left the iLife suite, when they went from
iPhotos
to the Photos app. And it was interesting. Well, you know what? I'm going to tell you, a lot of people cared then. I think now
I mean, now who cares now? Like, it's now, like iWork was completely, you know, who cares? Whatever. Okay, good.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens.
Yep.
A lot of transition and a lot of changes coming. We'll get some more information in the coming weeks, obviously, as people install the software, the development, developer software, as developers get hardware. I'm dying to see how this thing performs. I really am. The real world, you know. Obviously, the 12Z is the processor that they're shipping with. You know what's interesting? I guess it is not shipping with its own GPU, huh? Just the one that's built in. It won't have like a separate GPU.
Right. That's why this is fascinating, because this is literally the chip they put in an iPad. So now we're going to have something to compare it to.
Yeah.
We'll see. I bet it's not as fast. I'm just saying. But we'll see. Yeah. We'll see.
We'll find out. Guys, if you enjoy the show, thank you so much. You could hit the subscribe button, join us each and every week. We do the show. Quick 1 hour podcast on technology. I always describe this as guys hanging out at the bar talking about tech. That's how I see it. Right. If you're watching this, stay tuned. Don't leave. We're going to do What the Talk next. We'll continue this discussion.
Don't leave yet. It's last call.
Yeah. It's last call. You don't have to go. You can finish your drink.
You don't have to go home. You just can't stay here.
Just can't stay here. By the way, bars are open here in New York today.
Yeah, how do you feel about going to a bar today?
I was contemplating leaving today and going to the bar.
Really?
I was contemplating going to a bar. It's outside. Outdoor dining is in.
Okay.
I envision it's going to be a freaking zoo tonight when everybody's getting home from work. So I anticipate it being too wild, and I'm staying home.
We waited amateur hour. 2 weeks when we hit that phase before we even tried eating outdoors at a restaurant. And so we did do that last weekend. But
nice.
I feel a little safer here than I would in New York. No offense. But
that's my town. My town wasn't really as affected as other places here. But
yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Sure.
We're chugging along, guys. We're hanging on. All things Paul, go to therot.com, my source for all the tech news that we cover here. That's where the first place that I go, therot.com. You can follow me at Andrew Zarin. Give me a follow, guys. You can follow Paul at therot on Twitter. Remember, hit the subscribe button to us here on YouTube and everywhere else on podcasts, wherever you listen to podcasts. By the way, we're staying here. We're going to do What the Talk now. If you listen to the podcast, go and check out What the Talk. I promise this will be an okay What the Talk. Not the best, not the worst, just an okay
one. I like setting expectations.
Yeah.
This is not going to be the best one we've ever done.
Yeah, it'll be fine. We'll see where it goes. We'll find out. Until next time, guys.
It's probably not going to suck.
Take care.